Blog Talk Radio.
Let me cast my vote on this. Give my people hope on this. I spoke on this and hope to get focused on like most of this that occur in Africa. We gon' try to be socialists. Sudan, we tryna keep together. Other folks, they hope we split. So don't you sit up on your couch. Get outside your house and stand right next to your brother, man. Whether he from north or south, it's not about your color and religion. It's just politics. We can end the starving if involved in being part of it. This is at the heart of it. Voting's just the start of it. Pieces of the puzzle put together, view the larger picture. We anonymous when talked about on CNN. Proper camera, propaganda, I'm starting to see a trend. Future, we gon' lead it in. Africa, the powerhouse, we view the globe. It's time they know we're out of set, they powers out. Let me hear you shout it out. Democracy for all to stand. If that it, we will fall. So together as it's all the same.
Good morning. Welcome to the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys, and I want to thank you so much for joining the show this morning. I'm going to be speaking with singer Al Sarah. I'm going to call her in 1 second, but just to let you know a little background here. On September 19, 2010, thousands of activists gathered at events in 14 countries to coordinate a global day of action, calling on world leaders to take urgent steps to prevent a collapse in diplomacy in Sudan that could lead to deadly conflict in 2011. Celebrity musicians included Will Champion of Coldplay, Angelique Kidjo, and Hugh Masekela have collaborated on a music video for Sudan that was released on September 19th as part of the campaign's global Beat for Peace. The campaign is already supported by the world's most famous drummers, including Nick Mason, Pink Floyd, Middle Eastern star Mohamed Mounir, and Mustafa Teddy Addy from Ghana. Activists will drum along to the celebrity's Beat for Peace as part of a global event. The Sudan's 365 campaign, you can look them up on sudan365.org, has been organized by a coalition of groups including Aegis Trust, Human Rights Watch, Save Darfur Coalition, Italians for Darfur, the Norway Sudan Forum, Refugees International, Sudan Advocacy Action Forum, Sudan Democracy First Group, African Center for Peace and Justice, Darfur Consortium, and Arab Coalition for Darfur. I'm going to be calling Al Sarah. Al Sarah is a Sudanese-born singer, songwriter, and ethnomusicologist. So hold on a second. I'm going to give her a call. For those of you, you might not be very any issues of killing, the John Jaweed, but are you taking any action? I think that's one of the biggest issues. And that's why I wanted to have the show. Good morning, Al Sarah.
Yeah.
Hi, it's Joy. I'm sorry. I'm not sure what was going on earlier, but we're to air right now. Thank you so much for doing the interview this morning.
No problem. No problem. It's my pleasure. Sorry, I lost you guys for a second.
Yeah, that's okay. I just want to tell them a little bit more about you. Born in the capital of Khartoum, where you spent the first 8 years of your life, and then you relocated to Taiz, Yemen. With your family, and then you moved to the U.S. in 1994 after the war broke out in Yemen, and been singing since the age of 12.
Yes, I have. I actually started in school when I first got here, and it's sort of my mom wanted me to have a way to kind of socialize with kids because I didn't speak English when I first moved in, when I first moved here.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a good way to get to know people, and then I sort of really fell into it right away. It was so much fun, and kind of progressed from there, and by the time I was in high school, she relocated me to a new charter high school that was doing performing arts in the area that we were in, so
yes.
Going there.
Let me just tell the audience, some of them may still not know about the Sudan. Sudan is in a country in northeastern Africa. It's the largest country in Africa and the Arab world. The People's Republic of China and Japan are the main export partners of Sudan. There are roughly about 42 million people there. The capital is Khartoum. The major languages are Arabic, English, and there are several others. Some of the major religions are Islam, Christianity. But the people are extremely poor. There is this mad problem with the distribution of wealth, and that's part of the fight that's going on. And right now there's a battle to separate the areas. Why don't you tell the audience, Al Sarah, about exactly what's going on and why people need to vote now about this important issue?
Okay. Well, I mean, the whole issue, it's a very, long long issue as far as the history of the country, but there was a civil war between the North and the South for about 30 years. Millions of people have died in it, and about 5 years ago, a comprehensive peace agreement was signed between the North and the South. And part of the conditions within the agreement was, along many other conditions, was to hold a democratic election. That's the elections that held place last April, which ended up not being very democratic. A democratic election would take place so that a new government can be elected. And then following 9 months after the election, there's going to be a referendum where the country gets to vote on whether it wants to stay together or the South gets to move on and become its own country. A lot of the conditions were not met, some of the most important of which was the election being free and fair. Mm-hmm. And now that the decision is coming up so soon, a lot of things weren't done to prevent the split that seems inevitable at this point. And there was a lot of talk between the North and the government of the South, where they're like, you know, there's a lot of rumors and informal talk that they've already made the decision that they're going to split mm-hmm. off and become their own country. But it hasn't officially been decided on, and I just feel like it's really important, especially this is kind of like a last stand for the world and for Sudan itself to kind of try to preserve its unity and to really try to fulfill what I think the Comprehensive Peace Agreement had in mind, which is for everyone to step forward, admit to the faults that they had, and also say very clearly that they are willing to work towards a unified and equal Sudan, you know, where there's equality between all. None of this has been addressed really on a social level, and mm-hmm. definitely not on a North government level. So we're back in a place where it seems almost inevitable that this, you know, South and North will split up.
Well, one of the things is that the International Criminal Court had issued an arrest warrant for the president, Omar al-Bashir, and mm-hmm. He was charged on war crimes. And again, in July 12, 2010, the ICC issued a second arrest warrant for Bashir and adding the charge of genocide. And many people are familiar with the part of Sudan, Darfur, and there's a lot of ethnic warfare going on, and the Janjaweed. Can you tell the audience exactly what the Janjaweed are, for those who don't know?
Well, the Janjaweed are the criminals responsible for most of the deaths that happened in Darfur. There was a lot of rumor talks about, you know, they are Arabs fighting the black people of Darfur, but that's not very accurate at all, because there is no physical differences between the Janjaweed and the people of Darfur to mm-hmm. the naked eye. What the government did, in my opinion, and from what I understand and what I could see in front of me, there's a deep-seated history of tribal warfare in Darfur between certain tribes. And what the government did is that it stood on the side of certain tribes mm-hmm. And turned a blind eye to their militia and, of course, armed them very heavily. And so now what used to be tribal skirmishes turned into a full-on war. And I believe that there's been a lot of government involvement as well, as far as like sending in airplanes to bomb certain places mm-hmm. and basically trying to let the region, they were basically standing aside and trying to see if they can clear out a particular area of Darfur by letting the tribal warfare get completely out of control to a place where it historically has never gotten to.
Mm-hmm.
But also because, you know, it had never been an armed internal struggle between peoples. It had never been disarmed, and now all of a sudden one side had AK-47s and bombs and airplanes and the other side didn't.
Well, it's about imbalance of power. Let me just read a little article here from the New York Times. It's talking about Obama presses for peace and likely Sudan partition. After months of leaving the Sudan policy on the back burner, President Obama put the weight of his administration and his own personal esteem in Africa on the line Friday, demanding that the North and South Sudan ensure that their likely split into two nations early next year proceed peacefully. And as you mentioned earlier, Al-Sarah, that the voting did not go as planned. At a high-level Sudan meeting on the sidelines of the United Nations General Assembly, Mr. Obama said Washington would normalize relations should the January 9th referendum for the independence of Southern Sudan be carried off calmly and the Darfur conflict be settled. I mean, do you think that our government here in the United States is doing enough? I mean, are they just, you know, giving us a lip service about,
I mean, honestly, it is lip service. Like, what exactly does this mean that we're going to ensure that it proceeds peacefully? Like, what does that mean? Because it hasn't proceeded peacefully before at all.
Yes.
And it will not proceed peacefully now. You bet, you know, like, you can believe me, this is not going to go down easy. Especially with the South holding so much of the oil wealth.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these oil wells are going to be in areas that might very likely fall into Southern Sudan region. So I can, you can just imagine the kind of, you know, the kind of back and forth that would happen about, no, that part is ours, no, that part is ours, you know, especially in the border areas. And I don't think this is going to go down easy. A lot of the violence in Darfur is experiencing a very, like, a resurgence now, especially with the crackdown from the northern government on human rights organizations in the area and other foreign presence. There's been a crackdown over the last year, and they're really not allowing a lot to be reported out. You know, so violence is resurging again, and there is a lot of just uncertainty in the area, in the country, which will lead to some sort of, you know, it's not going to be this safe, happy, okay, let's just split and shake hands over it.
Yeah, definitely. I want to play one of your songs. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing correctly. Wad Adnuba?
Wad Adnuba, yeah.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to play a little song for the audience. That song, Al-Sara, what's going on in that one? That's beautiful.
Thank you so much. That song is featuring the sounds of Tarab, a New York-based Tarab band that covers music from Kenya and Zanzibar. This song is originally, the original form, it was written by Sharmila and the Black Star Orchestra, a Zanzibar-based band. And I took it and I rewrote those lyrics for it. And the lyrics are now, it's kind of like a ghazal song, or ghazal meaning like a love song, an admiration song for the beauty of the man from the Nuba Mountains. In Sudan, it's very frowned upon to, first of all, mixing between tribes is a very recent phenomenon.
Yes.
Between crossing north and south. Crossing north and south, of course, hardly ever happens. It's still a huge deal. And also, you know, a northern woman flirting with a man from the Nuba Mountains is also a very frowned upon thing. So I wanted to write a song admiring the beauty of the Nubian, of the man from the Nuba Mountains, or just the person from the Nuba Mountains, and admiring his authenticity, his history, his or her, you know, and the historical essence of the region and the depths of it. I want eventually some of my music to kind of talk about the diversity of Sudan, which to me is the essence of Sudan. You know, the beauty is all the different people. There's over 300 different languages and tribes in the country, and that is, I think, our core power. Even though it's been a big source of conflict for us, I think a change of perspective is necessary, because that's what makes us special. That's what makes us strong, and it could make us, you know, one of the most powerful countries in Africa if we allowed.
Well, you're one of the largest. Sudan is one of the largest. Again, for those of you just listening, we're talking with singer Al-Sara, and we're discussing the situation in Sudan and the possibility of the two parts splitting, but people needing to get out and vote. The Sudan, again, is the largest country in Africa, and you know, the United Nations, again, going back to the issue of lip service, you know, but let's talk about the people. A lot of people now within Africa in different regions feel that help from the outside is not good, meaning that it's kind of crippling, making the people in Africa dependent, not really building themselves up. You know, the saying of give a man a fish or teach a man the fish. Teaching a man a fish is better, because then they can fish for the rest of their lives. But
absolutely. But we're not talking about fishing.
Right, exactly. No, but I'm just using that as an example. I mean, how can we as a regular citizen here help the people in Sudan? I know from Sudan 365, they want us to hold events. Artists can get involved, the Beat for Peace. What are some other things that just a regular, everyday Joe Blow could do to help the people in the Sudan?
I mean, honestly, just educating yourself about what's happening, knowing what's going on out there, that's almost enough right now, you know, because a lot of the stuff, it's being kind of washed in under, you know, kind of like swept under the carpet, so that hopefully, I think the government's hoping that no one notices mm-hmm. that we're about to split a huge country into two and how bad this country, like, is going to get. I think what the regular average Joe can do is just, like, you know, reading about what's going on, getting involved with different organizations. A lot of people donate their energy or their money if they want to, but almost donating your energy is enough, you know, kind of showing your face in solidarity, attending some of these rallies is also really important, you know,
mm-hmm.
to show the government here that people are not only interested and aware of what's happening, but they support the idea of a united and peaceful country in Africa, because eventually we want to have a peaceful Africa.
Yes.
In general.
Yes.
And it starts one country at a time.
Well, some of the Millennium Development Goals, people who are not aware, the United Nations has a list of goals that they're trying to help eradicate extreme poverty and hunger, universal primary education, gender equality, empowerment with women. I mean, a lot of women and children raped, murdered in these wars and conflicts. If the vote proceeds, what does it stand for women? What will women be able to accomplish or not accomplish if this split occurs?
I mean, I'm not sure. The beautiful thing about the Comprehensive Peace Agreement, I can only speak about my experiences as a northerner and, like, my visits to Khartoum and to Bougoula, where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last 5 years with the Comprehensive Peace Agreement being signed and then having a lot more Southern Sudanese and non-Muslim presence in the government, it has slowed down on the crack of, there's this thing called the moral police that kind of polices the city,
mm-hmm.
especially Khartoum, to make sure that women are dressed appropriately and behaving appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
It ends up being this bunch of thugs running around harassing women in public. But with the Comprehensive Peace Agreement signed, there was a move towards having the public sphere not be ruled by Sharia law, by Islamic law, because now there is the idea, you know, that there is more than only Muslims in this country.
Yeah.
You know, and it should be allowed, it should be a secular state.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not even a secular. It should, I think the Sudan eventually needs to become a secular state, because the idea of having a religious state govern a diverse group of people is beyond ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfair, it's ridiculous, and it's kind of backwards. So it's just, you know, part of the move, I know, over the last 5 years was towards allowing women, not necessarily forcing hijab in the public street. Before, it used to be, if you were on the street without, you know, your headscarf on, you know, you could get arrested just walking down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Women were being lashed for quote-unquote public indecency. And there's generally what began, you know, there was what felt like a war against women in the public space. And, you know, with the impending split coming up, the crackdown is coming back to more. Police is harassing more and more women. I don't know if you heard, there was the case of the reporter Lubna, who was arrested in a cafe along with a group of, like, you know, 15 other women. Just
yes.
Okay. It was raided, and all the women were, you know, taken away because, quote unquote, they weren't appropriate. They were all lashed and made to sign a confession saying that they were dressed indecently in public. And this is what happens. You know, you end up having women bullied into these situations. You know, their families are shamed before the society.
Mm-hmm.
And so women have to carry the brunt of their, quote, you know, their family's honor. You're no longer just you. You become a symbol of your family's honor. So every man, woman in the family feels like they have the right to tell you how exactly to behave because it affects them.
Yes, there was an article about the reporter. She was speaking with the Taliban, supposedly she was arrested, and there's just so, it's just, the point is, like you were saying, it's going to be a problem for the entire country, not just the North or the South, each area is going to lose out.
Exactly.
So that's the real issue. Each area is going to lose out. And, you know, it's hard for us sometimes as Americans, and particularly I think as African Americans, this issue of the ethnic and tribal fighting when the people look exactly the same, and we're looking like, well, why are you guys fighting? You guys look like brothers, you know. But they know that they're not the same. They're not from, you know, the same cultural background. And so, but unity brings power. Diversity is strength. And I think that's what the focus should be. Let me play one of your other songs, the song Jamila.
Okay.
كتاب الرايح هل انت حلم في عالم الواقع ام حلم ناس القواعد
I want to read just a little bit from the National Organization for Women. This is talking about the crisis in Darfur. Tens of thousands of women have been displaced, raped, and killed since the violence began, and an end to these horrors is not in sight. Reports continue to trickle in that women living in refugee camps unlikely return to their homes soon or raped if they go outside the camps to gather wood or charcoal. So, but women are, in a sense, sometimes the backbone of society. Women are having children. Women are raising the next generation. I think it's so important to invest in any group of women, no matter where you are in the Sudan, America, Asia, because they are the ones that are raising the next generation. So if you are obliterating the women and not supporting women, educating the women, then in essence you are actually cutting your nose off and spite your face. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, absolutely. And honestly, the government of Sudan is not known for forward thinking. They are not known to think ahead of that, you know, of what's happening right now. And I'm glad you played that song, Jamila, right, when you played it when we're talking about women's issues, because this song, it's an ode to the feminine, to all that is feminine energy in the world, you know? Because to me, women embody, they embody life, creation, they embody power, and they embody death. You know, we give life, and we have the power to take away life. If you kill women, you kill life.
Yes.
You know, because you are killing the life-giving vessel in your world. And the lack, I feel like the lack of respect for women in Sudan, the rape, the violence against them, you know, patriarchy has moved so far, it's forgotten, you know, it's forgotten who gave birth to it.
Well, this is what you were saying about the honor. People may not realize that the woman, like you said, carries the honor of her family around. One of the issues is the virginity and breaking a woman so that she's not a virgin. She's no longer youthful. She's no longer good. She's a piece of dirt, trash. She will never get married. All these things are still existing. Yeah, I mean, it's hard for people, I think, in the United States to really understand that concept of you are the family. The family is you. I think in America, we do have family American. I'm American, and I think there's a great country, many wonderful things here. But the issue of family, marriage, historical family is maybe lost on young people here in America, understanding that concept that how connected you are to your family and how you represent your family no matter where you go. Some places it is, but a lot of places it's not. And also, again, going back to the ethnic battles that happen, that's a hard thing to understand when people to us look the same, but you guys are battling each other. It's another very difficult concept. But let me tell the audience, again, the website Sudan365.org. You can go there to find out how you can get involved. You can sign up to get the Sudan Watch right there on the website. You can learn more about the Beat for Peace. You can make a drumming video and upload it there right on the website. You and a friend or you alone can upload your information. You can organize an event to try to bring awareness to what's going on in Sudan, what's going on with the injustice with men and women. Men are being killed. Boys are being killed, so it's not just the female issue. People are being killed. And I think that you need to pay attention to something going on. It may seem so far away, but that country, again, is the largest country in Africa. So if they were able to unite, the power that the Sudan would have to make a change not only across Africa but across the globe would be amazing. So I really want to encourage everyone to look into Sudan 365 and maybe upload a video of you drumming with your friends or other music, a beat for peace. So Al-Sarah, what's your next move? Where are you going to be performing next?
Well, my next move is Friday, October 8th at N1 for the Arts in New York City. We're going to be doing a East African night. So we're going to be debuting my new solo project, a band called the Nubatones. So it's going to be a shot on the Nubatones opening the night, revisiting pop Nubian songs from the 70s and songs of displacement, as well as originals that I wrote. And then the rest of the show is going to be devoted to love songs from the 40s, 50s, and 60s from Zanzibar and Kenya. So we're going to kind of celebrate an East African night. Please come out, check it out. It's going to be really great. And One for the Arts is in the Financial District in Manhattan, 16 Beaver Street on the fourth floor.
Well, thank you so much. Website. Thank you so much. Yeah, you. Let me mention your website, alsara.com. And
yep.
Her name is called A-L-S-A-R-A-H. Again, A-L-S-A-R-A-H. And I want to leave today's show playing one of your songs, and I'm probably going to murder this word. Fihamaka Rabna?
Yeah, Fihamaka Rabna. For the sake of our God.
Okay, I'm going to play that song, Leaving, and I want to thank you so much, Al-Sarah, for coming on today. Everybody, check out 365.org. Also, check out alsarah.com, and I'm going to leave with your song.
Okay.